You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on October 9th, 2025. And this week, we're talking about a modern-day false prophet who has incorrectly announced the date of the rapture twice in the last 2 weeks. False prophets have been doing this for years, but they still amass a following. Why? Why do some people have such an interest in when the end of the world will be that they go and listen to people who make these predictions? Well, we're going to discuss that in our episode today. For links to the story we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1009-25. Now for our story this week. Rapture rescheduled to October 7th and 8th following prophets Julian versus Gregorian calendar snafu. From Protestia. And just a quick note about this story and the link to it. Protestia is great for exposing some of the foolishness that exists in the religious world. However, their website is terrible. It has so many ads and videos that run that it bogs down your computer, and it took me literally at least 20 minutes to try to copy some of the text, some of the excerpt from the article in order to share it in the notes here. I tried with two different web browsers, had to restart them several times in order to just copy the text from the article. Now, part of the problem, I'm sure, is the fact that I'm using an 8-year-old laptop. However, other websites don't do this. So the link will be in the show notes to the article if you want to check it out and take a chance that your computer will view it better than mine will. But if you have an older computer especially, just be aware that the website may not respond properly. But now back to the excerpt for that article. The false prophet who predicted that the rapture would take place late last month has set the date for the real rapture, insisting it will take place sometime between October 7th and 8th of this year. The 7th and 8th of October is the real Feast of Trumpets, I'm 1,000,000,000% sure. 3 months ago, Joshua Malakala, a believer from South Africa who claimed to have once been a pastor, came out of nowhere and began claiming that Jesus came to him in a dream in 2018 and told him, "On the 23rd and the 24th of September 2025, I will come to take my church." The article went on and said that many people took him seriously, quitting their jobs, selling their cars and homes in anticipation. After the rapture did not happen, he went silent for a couple of days, then reemerged more confident and arrogant than ever, doubling down and saying he is 1,000,000,000% sure that the rapture is going to happen on the 23rd and 24th of September 2025. He insists that because we see dimly as in a mirror, there was some confusion because his initial prediction was based on the Gregorian calendar. Instead, he suggests that his date should be based on the Julian calendar, which is 13 days ahead, so that September 23rd and 24th will actually occur in early October. So according to this so-called prophet, the rapture is supposed to take place on October 7th or 8th of this year. I am recording this episode on October 7th. It is going to release on October 9th. Yet I am so sure that what he claims is going to happen will not happen that I'm recording this ahead of time with every bit of confidence that he is going to be proven a fraud. Now, does that make me a prophet? No. In the words of Amos, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. But I do have the scriptures that identify this guy as a false teacher and show us what the truth is. Now, back in 2011, there's a man named Harold Camping who made a prediction regarding the date of the judgment. He said it was going to occur on May 21st, 2011. Of course, that day came and went over 14 years ago. But after his failed or false prophecy, I wrote an article titled "Why the Interest in Judgment Day Predictions." I'll link to that in the show notes. And while today we have a new date and a new false prophet, the points in that article are still the same. And most importantly, the Word of God has not changed. And we are trying to proclaim that. So we're going to use the main points from that article as the basis for our outline here today. And one other point before we start. This man who made the prediction about September or October of this year was claiming he knew when the rapture was going to come. Many religious people have a certain idea in their heads about what the rapture is going to look like, and it's not what is described in the New Testament. So for more on what the rapture will actually be like, check out the article that's in the show notes called Rapture and Tribulation. But to what we're talking about here today, why are people interested in these predictions? Why do they want to know when the rapture or the end of the world or the judgment, why do they want to know when those are going to be? Well, number one, people want to know what God knows. This is how Satan tempted Eve in the beginning when the first sin was committed. If she would eat of the forbidden tree, the serpent promised her, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And she saw that the tree was good for food and desirable to make one wise. So she took the fruit and ate of it, and she shared with her husband, and he also ate of it. Among the avenues of temptation that the devil uses that are described in 1 John 2 and verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, this falls into the category of the boastful pride of life, as John described it. The date of Christ's return to judge the world is unknown and unknowable to us. Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." Who then are we to have that knowledge, when even Jesus said that he did not know, only the Father knew? This is simply arrogance on our part, where we are trying to feed that desire for the boastful pride of life. We need to be content with what God has chosen to reveal to us. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe the words of this law." There are some things God has chosen to reveal to us, and some things that he has not chosen to reveal to us. And those that are not revealed, we cannot know those things. But Peter told us that God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us. Through what has been revealed in the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, we can know everything that we need. The scriptures make us adequate and equipped for every good work, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Everything we need to know about God and how to please him is found in his word. If God has not revealed something, it's because we don't need to know it. And that's true for the date of the Lord's return. God has not revealed the date when Christ is coming back because we don't need to know it. Number two, people are interested in this because they have a desire for exclusive knowledge. Having knowledge that others don't have leads to arrogance. Paul wrote, "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." Now, Paul's point there was not that it's somehow wrong to seek after or to have knowledge. After all, Peter said that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In that context, Paul was arguing that those who understand or have knowledge that idols are nothing, they therefore understand that eating of meats that are used in the worship of idols is really of no consequence. However, they should not exercise their liberty if it would encourage a younger brother without that knowledge or without that understanding to eat meats when they believe it's wrong to do so. However, this knowledge and understanding was not to be kept exclusively to certain individuals and withheld from others. The sharing of our knowledge through teaching is emphasized repeatedly throughout the New Testament. And the knowledge of the truth about these idols that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 needed to be taught to these weaker brethren. But this desire for exclusive knowledge, knowledge that would be withheld or hidden from others, that is rooted in arrogance. These individuals who make predictions about when the rapture will be or when the judgment will be, when the end of the world will be, they have been sharing information, but they were not helping people understand anything. When we teach, we should teach in such a way that people can search the scriptures to verify what our claims are. That's what the Bereans were doing in Acts 17 and verse 11. They searched the scriptures daily to make sure what Paul was saying was the truth. But those who make these predictions about when the end of the world will be don't do this. They just want people to trust them. They don't share how they arrived at the conclusion of when this date is going to be, because that would mean people could examine their claim and either accept it or correct it or reject it. And when a particular teaching cannot be comprehended or explained, only accepted or rejected, that should be a big red flag when we're hearing it. The knowledge of God's word is not exclusive. It is meant to be understood by all who will study with an open heart. And number three, why do people want to know when the end of the world will be? It's because people like to have deadlines. Many people claim to work better when they have a deadline, and maybe some people do, but in reality, a lot of people just have a deadline and then put off working on whatever it is until the very end. I remember back when I was in college and had papers to write and would have months to do them, and I would work on them the week before they were due. Or you have a final exam and you study for it the day before the exam. And I know I'm not the only one who did that. And even after college, people tend to do that with different projects or things that they have going on. They wait until the very end before it has a deadline, and now they have to get it done. Well, that procrastination could be the result of laziness, or it could be that other things really just took priority in the months or weeks leading up to whenever that deadline is, and so it got pushed back until closer to the date when it was due. Well, what if we could know the date when the Lord was going to return to judge the world? What if we could know that? What would the tendency be for the majority or a large percentage of people? Well, a lot of people, non-Christians, would wait to obey the gospel. The New Testament describes obeying the gospel as something that is an urgent matter. The Philippian jailer was baptized the same hour of the night, as it says in Acts 16 and verse 33. Prior to his conversion, Paul was told, "Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And while it is true that those who obey the gospel right before the Lord returns will still be saved, we don't know when the end will be. Therefore, there is an urgent need for those who are outside of the body of Christ to obey the gospel rather than putting it off. And if we knew the date and people were going to put this off, Christians would wait to put away or repent of sin in their lives. Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth and admonished them not to receive the grace of God in vain, and said, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Repentance is not something to be put off until later because we think we have plenty of time. Today is the day. If you still have sin in your life that you haven't given up, today is the day to do that. And also, if we knew the date, we might be tempted to put off telling others about the gospel. Jesus said, "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." As he described there, our time to share the gospel with others is during the day, not just at the end of the day, whenever that might be. Peter said we are to always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. But if we knew the date when the Lord was going to come back, we might tend to neglect this responsibility and then fail to teach others until a fervent push to evangelize as many people as we can right at the end. But Peter said we need to be ready and able to teach at all times. And if we knew the date when the Lord was coming back, we might be tempted to quit doing any work. That's what happened with the brethren in Thessalonica when they misunderstood what Paul wrote to them and thought that the Lord's return was imminent. So Paul wrote to correct this in the second letter and said, "For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies." Many followers of this modern-day false prophet did the same thing. They quit working, they sold their property, because they thought they didn't need any of that anymore. Yet Paul said that was unacceptable. He said in the next verse, "Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and to eat their own bread." And just before that, he said very bluntly, "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." The scriptures show us that God wants us to go about our normal lives, working, carrying out our responsibilities that we have here. But he also wants us to be prepared at all times, because the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And as Peter went on to explain, we prepare by living holy lives at all times. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Paul told the Romans to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. We should be able to say, as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. We need to conduct ourselves as faithful followers of Christ at all times. If we were to know the date of the judgment, when the Lord was coming back, that would only discourage people from making the necessary preparations and living according to God's will in the present. So in summary, God has not revealed the date of Christ's return. Diligently seeking to determine that date is a futile exercise. But although the date is uncertain, the fact that Christ is coming back is an absolute certainty. Therefore, we need to strive to be ready at all times for our appointment before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we can be rewarded with heaven and not condemned to hell. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/1009-25. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who would be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, you can check that out on Substack. That will also be linked in the show notes. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.